You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio. Welcome to the Dan Patrick Show.
Pat Forty from Sports Illustrated, senior writer. Now, what's this mean for the Pac-12? They're on the clock.
Pac-12 president's meeting on Friday, I think, to see if they can get a consensus to go ahead and move forward with formalized practices.
Can the Pac-12 pull this off?
You know, the last I heard, they're trying to shoot for a Halloween kickoff and see how many games they can get in.
Bringing you the biggest guests and best interviews.
This is about $700 million. Kirk Herbstreit, ESPN college football analyst.
I don't even think these coaches are up in arms at this point. This is a conference that candidly has been struggling to matter. Really, the Oregon brand is about the only one right now carrying the day before COVID.
Broadcasting from the Mercedes Man Cave, this is Dan Patrick.
Final hour on this Friday, a meat Friday at that, in case you're wondering what's on the Traeger. Rib sandwiches and meatball parm grinder. Danettes are spoiled. If you'd like to get in touch with the program, dial us up, 877-3DP-SHOW. Say good morning to those watching on Peacock, Chat Row, and those listening on our great radio affiliates around the country. We'll talk to Duncan Robinson of the Miami Heat after another win over the Boston Celtics last night. And the comedian Kevin Nealon will stop by a little bit later on as well. The Browns beat the Bengals 35-30. Impressive performance by Joe Burrow. 61 passes, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. But the Browns get the victory. The Nuggets and Lakers game one tonight. The Mid-American Conference is going to try to play. Their presidents reportedly will get together this weekend. And earlier, first hour of the show, we had the commissioner of the Pac-12, Larry Scott, on. And I asked him if it's more likely the Pac-12 plays in the fall than the spring.
I'd say at this stage, it's promising. You know, it's amazing how much has happened in the last 5 weeks since we made our decision. And the good news is, you know, we got access to the kind of testing our medical folks required sooner than we thought. We've gotten public health authority approval, quickly, earlier than we thought. And so we've tried to do a couple of things, Dan, and I appreciate the chance to talk to you. We've tried to be transparent about what we're doing, deliberate, health and safety first. But at the same time, our student athletes want to play. And our coaches want to play, our fans want to play. So we've been committed to explore every possibility to do so when we felt it was safe and we had appropriate approval. So we're trying to be nimble and flexible.
They're playing football this fall. And from what I'm told, it'll be the week after Halloween. I was initially told Halloween weekend, and they were going to try to get in maybe 7 games. They're probably not going to be involved in the selection committee Final Four, but then I don't know if they have a school that's a football team that's talented enough to get in there for consideration to begin with. But that's what we know right now. The Pac-12 is going to play football, from what I'm told. The commissioner is going to take a vote at some point. Now, he's not going to have, he said when he gets on the call with his presidents today, they're not going to take a vote. We're going to know probably in the next 5 or 6 hours officially what's going to happen with the Pac-12. And the Mid-American Conference is trying to come back. The Mountain West is trying to come back. It feels like everybody is sort of with trepidation trying to figure this out in real time. And the Pac-12, overly cautious, but it looks like they're all signs point towards playing football this fall. We did reach out to the NCAA. I didn't know if a student athlete declared for the draft, signed with an agent, would he be ineligible? And we're seeing that with a couple of players. And I think what's happening now, the NCAA is reevaluating this of what benefits that player may have gotten in exchange with an agent. So we'll keep an eye on that as well, because there are a couple of first round talents that are trying to opt back in. He wasn't drafted, but boy, he's one of the great shooters in the NBA. Duncan Robinson of my Miami Heat, as they pick up the win last night, he had 18 points and they all came from 3-point range, 6 of 12, and they pick up the win. And now game 3 between the Celtics and Heat will be on ESPN. That'll be coming up this weekend. Good morning, Duncan. How are you feeling today?
Good morning. Thanks for having me on. Feeling good, obviously. Nice to get that game 2. But looking forward to prepping for game 3 today.
If somebody hadn't watched the Miami Heat play, how would you describe this team?
Probably in one word, I would just say grit. You know, we have a lot of guys that just carry that chip on their shoulder. It's something that we definitely pride ourselves on. And, you know, we're going to try to bring it for all 48. And if it takes more than 48 minutes, then so be it. So we're unselfish, share the ball, and just compete on both ends of the floor.
What have you learned from Jimmy Butler?
A whole lot. First and foremost, you know, it's pretty uncommon to have a superstar that's so unselfish, who doesn't care about shot attempts and literally just cares about winning. He'll do whatever it takes to win. And if that's sacrificing his attempts and maybe his, you know, points in the point column for assists, rebounds, guarding, he'll do it. He does whatever it takes to win. And he's certainly our leader. And we just all kind of fall in line and follow.
What are you taking advantage of with the Celtics?
They're a tough team. You know, they're incredibly talented offensively in particular. So we're just trying to mix it up, throw different things at them, kind of keep them out of rhythm. Because you know, you've seen it in stretches when they get in rhythm, they're really hard to guard. So we just try to make it difficult on them on that end, and then play to our strengths on offense. You know, put pressure on the rim, shoot threes, and get to the free throw line. That's basically our offensive identity.
I love what you guys did against Milwaukee and came on the show and said, don't be surprised if the Heat beat the Milwaukee Bucks, because you guys play great defense. You know, you kept Milwaukee out of transition. By the way, the Greek Freak just won his second MVP, so that just came over. But you guys frustrated him and that entire team, but now it's a kind of a different philosophy with the Celtics. It's not based off just one player there, but I'm impressed. Bam Adebayo is right in front of us becoming a, you know, he's a great player and really extremely talented. How surprised are you with what you've seen with Bam?
Honestly, I'm not very surprised. You know, he's been doing it for us all year. He made huge steps this year. But a lot of that was just kind of like structurally, just roster wise, he had more opportunity. Last year, you know, he showed it game in and game out. Maybe not as in the same sample size that everyone's seeing now, but he's so dynamic. And people think of versatility as the ability to shoot threes, but he doesn't do that for us yet. I mean, he certainly could, but he does so much more for us offensively. We run so many things through him. And then defensively, his versatility, I really think has been on full display this playoff, switching ball screens and protecting the rim. And, you know, we say it all the time, Jimmy's our leader, Jimmy and Gorm, but Bam's really the heart and soul. And he brings it for us every single night.
Does Tyler Hero talk trash every game?
Yeah, I mean, it's just kind of who he is. You know, he plays with that chip, that confidence. And it's not necessarily, like, sometimes it's directed at people, individuals. but sometimes it's just kind of him talking to himself or to us just to kind of get him in that zone. Because when he gets there, you know, he's just so tough. And he just has this kind of unshakable confidence about him, especially for a young guy. It's really impressive.
What do you do on an off day in the bubble?
Rest, recover, and then, you know, go over some adjustments, prep, get some shots up, maybe a lift, depending on, you know, what day of the week it is. But just get ready. You know, at this time of the year, it's just all about the next task. Just keep on checking the boxes and, you know, trying to win another game.
Who makes the bed?
We got the people here at Disney.
Oh, okay. You don't do that, right?
I mean, I try to. That's my sad excuse of a bed.
Wait,
that, back here.
That's you trying to do it because you knew you were going to be on camera?
Yeah, I mean, that's my force. My mom would be disappointed in that effort. We got people here at Disney who look out for us, which is much appreciated. But I try to make my bed in the morning.
Do you watch football on Sunday as a group?
Yeah, absolutely. It was great to watch those games last Sunday and Monday, and actually a group of us watched the game last night, at least the second half of the game last night, which is fun.
What's your favorite team?
So truthfully, I actually grew up a Patriots fan, so I have some allegiances there, but I've also kind of turned into a Dolphins fan as well, just being down in South Florida, and so it kind of cuts both ways. I know that's a tough answer considering they played each other last week. But I kind of opted out of that game, and I'll root for both teams moving forward.
Who would be the best football player on the Heat roster?
I think we have a couple that could play. I think I'd probably, don't tell him I said this, but I'd probably be Jimmy. as I can just see him as like a wide receiver. If he put on some weight at tight end, I mean, he's 6'8", has unbelievable hands. And it's just a freak athlete, strong, fast, and everything. I'm sure if you ask him, he probably thinks he can play in the NFL tomorrow, which is why I don't want him to know that I just said that. But I really think we have a couple. I think Bam and some other guys as well.
What's that like, though? You hit 6 threes last night. When the ball leaves your hand and you know it's going in.
It's a good feeling. It's good to see some go, obviously, early on, just kind of build the confidence. But, you know, really my teammates and my coaches have really kind of freed my mind in that they just want me to be aggressive. So I just try to do that game in and game out.
Do you ever call it, though, Duncan, when it's in the air, do you say to your defender, that's good?
Sometimes if I'm kind of, you know, in that zone, so to speak. I think I had one last night where coming out of my hand, I just knew it was good. Sometimes that happens. It doesn't always happen, but it's nice when it does.
Who was on you?
That was the it was like kind of like a late clock. Daniel Tice had like switched out and kind of shot faked, and it just felt good coming out of my hand. So
you're two games from the final. You're two wins from the finals.
Yeah, it's
that's crazy.
You know, when you're entrenched in it, it's hard to kind of have the perspective just because we're so locked in on, you know, playing prep, just day after day. But it's pretty incredible. It's been an incredibly fun journey. We're loving it. We don't want it to end. I know there's been a lot of talk about whatever how tough the bubble's been or this or that, but we love it here. We love being together. We love playing together. And we want to keep it rolling.
Well, you know, you told me recently that you can't wait to lock down LeBron in the finals. So it looks like you'll get your chance there, Duncan. He's going to know your name in the NBA finals.
Yeah, we'll see. We got a long ways to go until then. We're focused on game three right now.
I know. But, and by the way, Duncan didn't have that quote. I made that up. Laker fans, you wanted LeBron. You got LeBron. Congrats and good luck. Thank you
very much. Appreciate you having me on.
Thanks. Duncan Robinson, the Heat forward, guard, great shooter. And he had 6 threes last night, 18 points. Game three with the Celtics and Heat. When is game three, Todd? On your notes, you say Eastern Conference Finals game three between the Celtics and Heat tips off at 8:30 Eastern on ESPN.
That should be on Saturday.
Thank you, Todd.
Because tonight is the Lakers game.
Yes, Paul.
Duncan Robinson makes his bed like all of us make our bed. We consider the throw over of the blanket and sheet near the pillow area making the bed.
Accurate.
That means it's made.
Steve in Florida joins us. Good morning, Steve. What's on your mind?
Hey, Dan. It's good to be back. I just wanted to say that the Denver Nuggets are going to win that series in 6 games.
Okay. Does anybody want a piece of Steve from Florida's bet here? He's got the Nuggets winning in 6. Is there a bet here, a shower of shame?
Let's see. I'll jump in the pool if I lose, right? How about that? I'm just kidding.
Well, wait a minute. But you're in Florida and you're going to jump in the pool.
No, I'm just joking,
okay,
Dan.
Okay. How about all your clothes on, Steve? You jump into the pool if the Nuggets don't beat the Lakers.
All right, I'll do that. I'll go home and get dressed and jump in the pool.
All right.
See, this is what's going to happen, Dan. They're going to let LeBron and Anthony just score 30, rebound for 10, and they're going to lock everybody else. Okay. And the continuity between the team, they've been in so many game sevens already that there's no pressure on them.
No, there's not pressure on them, but thank you, Steve. You're going to see the big men with the Lakers get to play in this series. They were not needed in the series or useful against the Rockets. Now you get those big bodies on the Joker, and the Joker, to me, is not going to have anywhere near the series that he just had against the Clippers. As great as he is, I think you rotate all those big bodies with Dwight Howard, JaVale McGee in there, Anthony Davis as well. LeBron probably guards him at some point, you know, but that's going to be the key. They have a deep team. Make no mistake about the Nuggets. They have depth there. But if you don't get big performances from the Joker and Jamal Murray, you're not going to beat the Lakers. But if you get good performances with some really good performances from your bench, then you got a great chance of knocking, taking at least a couple of games here. Yeah, McClellan.
I like that guy's strategy. Shut down the other guys. Box him one, Alex Caruso. You cannot, I mean, you actually chuckled when he said that, but
yeah.
That, I mean, come on, if LeBron, you have to stop one of those two guys, don't you?
It's rare to eliminate LeBron James. I mean, how many teams in NBA history have eliminated LeBron from the playoffs? You know, he doesn't make the same mistake twice. So whatever the game plan is going to be, LeBron will have, you know, his basketball IQ is crazy. And with him and Rondo to me has been the key ingredient, because he does allow LeBron to beat you in a different way instead of LeBron just being the primary ball handler. I love the fact that Rondo is back. Playoff Rondo, he's been a big difference maker there. Here is Reggie Miller talking about how he thinks this series is going to go.
I guarantee you probably what's going to happen, and we saw this from the Lakers in the first round versus Portland, and in the second round versus Houston. They'll probably lay an egg in that first game and lose, and everyone's going to go all crazy. Oh, my God, what's wrong with the Lakers? And they reeled off four straight games. They've been off a while. I'm sure they're probably a little bit complacent because they were envisioning, you know, facing the Clippers. There'll probably be a letdown in game one. I have the Lakers, I mean, five would be very disrespectful to Denver after what they've done in back-to-back being down 3-1s and coming back and winning. So I'll say six to be respectful to the Denver Nuggets.
So that's Reggie Miller. Reg will be on the call of that game coming up tonight. Also, keep this in mind with the Miami Heat. The Miami Heat have lost one game in the playoffs. That was in overtime to the Milwaukee Bucks. Pretty scary. So they're that close to being undefeated in the bubble. And the only other time a franchise has done this, if you go back to 2005, that's when Dwayne Wade and Shaq did it. Starting a postseason 10-1 is rare. That team, by the way, ended up losing to Detroit in the conference finals. So what you're seeing here from the Miami Heat, and I know in the bubble is different because you don't have that true road game, home court advantage. And as a result, you know, Denver ended up winning. 1-2 series down 3-1, and they probably would not have if you had a true home court advantage here where you were going to Los Angeles, and that would have been extremely difficult. The bubble is, you know, it's neutralized a lot of this here. We'll take a break. Kevin Nealon is going to join us. Kevin Nealon, it's been a while since we talked to him. Actor, comedian, Saturday Night Live cast member, and we'll talk to him coming up. Keeping an eye on the scores, second round U.S. Open, it's a little tougher, it looks like, so far. And I think it's going to be and getting really tough over the weekend at the U.S. Open. I still believe over par is going to win the U.S. Open. Watching yesterday, I was like, these guys are making this look easy, and that is not an easy golf course. Not at all. McLovin, update the poll results if you can, please.
If you could have either of these two quarterbacks to start your franchise, Joe Burrow or Baker Mayfield. 88% Joe Burrow. Of course, a new unproven guy. He will always win.
Yeah. Yeah. And I thought it was going to be 78%. I think you thought it was going to be 95%. People love the newness, the freshness. And Joe Burrow certainly is that so far. All right, we'll take a break. It's coming up on 19 after the hour. This is The Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to The Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. By the way, it's Meat Friday here. And Traeger Grill, they've done it again. So, trying to think what we have here. It's rib sandwiches and meatball parm grinder, in case you're watching on Peacock and you get to see the grill area there, where Alan, our IT guy, who's also our chef. We don't have a cook. We have a chef. TraegerGrills.com/DP Show. I don't know if we have an IT guy anymore, but we have a chef.
We've never eaten better.
Yeah. Chef. Callaway. If you can't stop slicing the ball, there's support for you. There's help out there. Slicers Anonymous, available now. Callaway Golf YouTube channel. Slicers Anonymous, a very funny short comedy film starring Kevin Nealon, actor, comedian, Saturday Night Live, former cast member, and he joins us on the program. Kevin Nealon, how are you today?
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Can you hear me? Wait. Nope, that's Now we can't hear you. Nope. 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 You were okay, but now you're not. Is this the first time you've ever done this?
No, I play Mafia all the time.
I put them back in the case, and they went on.
Now we're in business.
Yeah, we're in business now. It's not a good business, but we're in business.
No, we're good. We're good. How would you describe your golf game?
almost non-existent.
Because?
Because, A, I'm not that good. B, I haven't played in about a year. I might have played once or twice. I just had my shoulder replaced a month ago. But so I am preparing to get back out there, and then my game will be good.
But is it similar? Like, have you done pro-ams? Have you played in
those?
Oh,
yeah. Okay. Yeah, I played tons of pro-ams.
More nervous playing in a pro-am or doing stand-up?
Oh, definitely a pro-am. But I'll tell you, a pro-am ties or is second as far as nerves as throwing in the first pitch at a baseball game, professional baseball game.
What game?
Oh, my gosh. I had to throw the first pitch in for the Cubs versus the White Sox at Wrigley Field. And I hadn't thrown a hard ball in forever. So I get to, by the way, I love all the trophies you've won on your desk.
Thank you.
I get to Chicago. I'm doing a gig there, and I got to throw the ball in the next day. So I figure I'll get up early and I'll go to a park near the hotel and find some kids playing baseball. And I'll ask if I could throw the ball around a little bit, kind of warm up. So I get there, and all I could find, it's a little rainy. There's a dad playing with his 6-year-old, and I don't even think it's a hard ball. And I said, I couldn't find anybody else. I said, would you mind if I could play catch with your dad for you guys a little bit? Because I'm throwing the first ball in at the game today. And I think the father thought, this poor guy never had the father-son experience, and he wants to have it. So the kid sat on the sideline. I threw the ball to the father a few times. And then I felt bad for the kid. So I said, okay, I think I got it. And I go to the game, and I'm so nervous. I haven't been this nervous since the first time I did the Tonight Show with Johnny Carson. And my legs are weak, my knees, and they give me the jersey. I still have the Cubs jersey in my closet. And there's actually pictures on, I don't know, if maybe I could even find one here. But so I throw the ball in, and it's a high fastball. And I was so glad I didn't ground it.
Because if you throw from the mound, that's what people, if you throw in front of the mound, that's the route to take. When you get on the mound, you inevitably either throw it really high or you throw it into the dirt.
Yeah, but you got to throw it from the mound.
Yeah.
You can't get in front of the mound. That's like for an old president to do, you know?
But you were never that nervous on Saturday Night Live.
No, because I will tell you, Dan, the year before I came on, the show was almost canceled because the ratings were so bad and it was so panned by the press. I thought, nobody's watching the show. You know, nobody's going to get, I mean, how much worse can we do? Not that they were a bad cast the year before, so it's just the synergy wasn't there with the writing. So, and also I've done comedy clubs where there's been that many people. It's a small studio. There's not that many people in there. And I'm pretending the cameras have no film in them. And my first sketch is Mr. Subliminal, which is kind of it's a double conversation going on at once. So it's a little complicated. And 5 seconds before I go on, Lorne Michaels, the producer, puts his hand on my shoulder and he says, are you sure this is what you want?
But how did you come up with Mr. Subliminal?
Mr. Subliminal was it evolved from a guy I met, a character actor, Ed Peck, back in the 80s, the early 80s, late 70s. He used to do shows like Happy Days and Laverne and Shirley. He always played the cop. In a deep voice, you know, like low and brow voice. And he took a liking to me. And we went to Cantor's, this delicatessen in Hollywood. After he would always come out and hang out the improv where I used to pretty much live. And he said, I'm going to do this thing to the waitress. I want you to pay attention. And so he would order from the waitress. He'd go, I think I'm going to have a cheeseburger for her. And why don't you also give me, you know, and he put in these vulgar words, profanity, you know.
So just under his breath.
Yeah, yeah. So he says, you should do that in your act. You should try that. So I started trying it in my act. And then when I got to SNL, I got with Al Franken. And Al Franken said, we should do this like as a subliminal advertising guy, trying to get his way for things, you know. And I knew about subliminal advertising because I have a BS in marketing. So I studied advertising. So that's kind of how that came about.
When do you know that you got something on Saturday Night Live?
When a sketch is working?
Yeah.
Well, it's funny. You never really know because it's always, you know, when you come out of the gate, it's a little bit foreign to the audience. They're trying to figure out what you're doing. Like when Dana Carvey and I came up with Hans and Franz, the people enjoyed it the first time, but they weren't really sure what we're doing. They're taking it all in and thinking, okay, these guys are Austrian bodybuilders. They don't lift weights. They just make fun of people. And then it resonates with them, I think, after that. And then we didn't do it for, I don't know, a couple of shows. And then I thought, Dana, why don't we bring back Hans and Franz? And he goes, yeah, let's do that. So we wrote another one. And as soon as we appeared on stage, the audience went crazy. So we knew during that period of time in between the two sketches, it had resonated with people and they were thinking about it. So they were happy. They liked these characters. When we came back, they embraced us and they loved it.
Based off Schwarzenegger?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, just a couple of guys, you know, they think they're hot stuff, you know, and everything's about them. And, you know, everyone else is a loser. Does that sound familiar?
Did he respond?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's funny, you know, at first you think, oh, man, these people are going to get mad at us for making fun of them. And it's really quite the contrary. People, like, I remember Dana would do Casey Kasem, you know, and Casey would send him cases full of CDs because he loved it, you know. It only brought attention to these people. And Arnold loved it. You know, he took those characters and he ran with them because we said, you know, we're distant cousins of Arnold Schwarzenegger. He's our cousin. You know, he is the perfect embodiment of Papatude. And so when he ran for governor, he was using all of our like catchphrases, like, you know, don't be the girly man, you know, don't be a loser. You know, you got the votes for me. I'm the perfect embodiment of governance.
He's Kevin Nealon, actor, writer, comedian, former Saturday Night Live cast member, and working with Calloway, the newest yeah. Bertha B21. We just watched the video there. Your catchphrase is, your slice is not your swing.
Your slice is not your swing. Yeah.
Explain that.
Well, a lot of people have a slice. You know, most people that golf are not good. I remember golfing once at I'm going blank on the name of it. You know, up by the AT&T.
Pebble Beach.
Yeah. And I said to my caddy, I said, you get a lot, mostly good golfers on this course. He goes, no, they're mostly bad. All bad. Just tourists. They want to golf on the course. So, you know, most people are not good golfers and they have some kind of something going on with their swing, like a slice or something, you know? And, so this, Callaway approach, this philosophy is it's not your slice. It's your swing.
Your slice is not your swing.
Your slice is not your, yeah. Your slice.
Wait,
is not
wait,
your swing.
Are you sure that why do I know more about it than you do? And you're in the commercial.
I couldn't remember the name of Pebble Beach. How am I supposed to remember the name of a catchphrase?
So is the guitar just a prop? Because you used to be in bands, didn't you? Were you in garage bands?
I was in garage bands, and I love playing the instruments.
What's your go-to song? On guitar.
The one I'm learning right now, in fact, last night and this morning, because during COVID, I'm learning a lot. I'm learning how to paint. I'm learning songs that I never finished. There was a song I heard somebody play on Instagram. I remember that song. That's a cool song. And it's by Crowded House, Don't Dream It's Over.
I sing it all the time.
Do you really?
Yes. Around the studio, I sing it. We brought it up yesterday on the show. Can you grab your guitar? You play it. Let's
okay.
go.
Okay. I'm not a good singer, but I'll play it.
All right.
You sing it. You sing it.
This can't be pretty. Don't dream it's over. Hey now, hey in a war
it's a good thing we're not musicians.
Oh.
You know what, too? Dan, I never, like, knew lyrics. I don't think I know the lyrics of any one song except for maybe Happy Birthday.
Best musical act you saw on Saturday Night Live?
That's a really tough one because we had so many of these, like, you know, these dinosaurs that I grew up listening to, like Keith Richards, Mick Jagger, Paul Simon, James Taylor, Eric Clapton.
Did you get to Aerosmith. Hang with them?
Yeah. Yeah. They would actually, sometimes they would play afterwards when the show was over, they do a little concert. They'd play like three or four more songs, like Paul McCartney and Paul Simon. And I was always a big fan of James Taylor. So when he came on, I kind of befriended him. And he said, I always say this, but you know, maybe we should go out and get dinner sometime, you know, and get together. And I'm thinking, oh my God, James Taylor, Sweet Baby James, asking me out on a date.
Did you ever go out?
I did. I went to his house in New York. I went up the elevator. I was shaking like a leaf. I was like going on a date. And he opens the door and he's got his jacket on. He's ready to go. He's ready for me. And we go to this Cuban restaurant on Broadway. It was great. We hung out and then went back, dropped him off. And the whole way back, I'm thinking, do I hug him? Do I kiss him? You know, I don't know what to do.
You can check out Kevin. He is pairing up with Callaway, the newest Bertha, the B21. And your slice is not your swing. Also, Kevin's YouTube show, Hiking with Kevin. And it's always great to talk to you, Kevin. We hope you're doing well.
You too, DP.
Thank you, man.
Good talking to you.
Kevin Nealon, Callaway Golf YouTube channel, Slicers Anonymous there. Always good to catch up with him. Who saw that coming? He's going to pick up a guitar and do a little Crowded House. Don't dream, it's over. Hey now. Yes, Paul.
Was it about 2 or 3 days ago we were joking around and Seton mentioned that one of your go-to walk around the hallway songs is Crowded House?
Yeah. Yeah.
We haven't brought that up in 10 years.
Like, and I used to sing it all the time walking around the studio. I think even back to the mothership, I sang Avril Lavigne. He was a skater boy, said, see you later, boy. I think that's the first time I encountered Seton, or he encountered me. He's like, that's Dan Patrick singing Avril Lavigne.
I didn't know you like personally. I knew obviously who you were, but we didn't know each other at all. And you would walk around the halls. He was a skater boy. Like, oh my God, Dan Patrick is an Avril Lavigne fan. What?
Not really. I just love that. Yes, Paulie.
I think I'd been working with you for about 2 days. I wouldn't say I knew you. I'd only met you maybe two times before we started working together. And I had to bring something up to your office, which I'd never been before. And as I walked up to your office, and I'm still kind of like a young guy at ESPN, and there's your office and all the other people around you, Chris Fowler and them. All of a sudden, I hear you in a lounge singer voice singing Straight Outta Compton. And I remember just standing there going, this is pretty surreal, Paul.
We eventually did rap hits where I was like a Las Vegas lounge singer. Straight Outta Compton, blah, 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 named Ice.
We did like 6 or 7 of them.
Yes, we did. Yeah, we did. I played the rap hits.
You did Gin and Juice.
Sipping on Gin and Juice. Laid back, sipping on Gin and Juice.
A long time ago.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. Dale in Indiana joins us before we take a break. By the way, I went out to see the Traeger. Man, that stuff looks good. We have rib sandwiches and meatball parm grinder. Hey, Dale, what's on your mind?
59180. Mm-hmm. I wanted to give a shout out to Fritzy for his week of redemption. He fell a little flat last week, maybe a C-minus opening NFL week. Talk about college basketball and baseball. But this week, he's got, you know, NFL guests, college restart, start of football, NBA playoffs, his Michael McDonald Doobie Brothers Monday Night Football. That was gold. I'm giving him a B+ this week. Great job, Fritzy.
All right. Dale from Indiana.
I appreciate
all right.
that. That's
good
Dale.
Points.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Marvin had to wait a long time to get somebody who was going to be complimentary to you. So, Dale in Indiana.
Very thoughtful.
I think Marvin called Dale in Indiana. He was calling people to say, hey, got anything nice to say about Fritzy?
I may or may not have left a $10 bill for Marvin.
That's not true, and you know it. All right, we'll take a break. Last call for phone calls, what we learn, what's in store for next week. And if you're watching on Peacock, we'll enjoy our lunch early right off the Traeger Grill. Back after this in the Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. This Day in Sports History coming up, Nuggets, Lakers tonight, NFL weekend, U.S. Open. And I still think over par will win the U.S. Open. Best games in the NFL this weekend. I don't think college football looks very good, but you have Patriots and Seattle. You got the Saints and the Raiders in Las Vegas for that debut of that stadium. Is there another game? You got the Ravens against the Texans. Yes, Paul.
Couple are juicy because Vikings and Colts, they're both 0-1.
Okay.
They're going against each other. Mm-hmm. Falcons at Cowboys. Falcons are not a bad team, but they're 0-1. Cowboys are a good team in expectations. They're 0-1. Someone has to go 0-2 in that game, pretty much.
Unless there's a tie.
Of course.
Okay. Any other game?
Wouldn't it be the biggest storyline twist to have the Jets beat the 49ers? Everyone thinks the Jets are the worst. 49ers are cruising.
But that game's in New York, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't think it's out of the realm of possibilities there.
Hot.
Well, you got George Kittle, who I don't think he's playing. And then Garoppolo, the second half of that game against Arizona, didn't look good. You're on the road against the Jets team. You know, the Jets are going to win a couple of games that they shouldn't win. Maybe this is one of them. But, yeah, decent. You got the Chargers and the Chiefs. Chargers at home against the Chiefs. Anybody? Rams in Philadelphia. Yeah. All right, so some decent games, and then you got Saints-Raiders on Monday night coming up. This day in sports history, Paulie.
It's not that great of a 1915, the first asphalt-covered automobile racetrack was opened in Cranston, Rhode Island, a hotbed of racetracks.
Mm.
I had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
1965, Mickey Mantle played his 2000th game. There's always a bunch of Mickey Mantles. In 1993, the Anaheim Mighty Ducks played the Pittsburgh Penguins in their first NHL preseason game, the Mighty Ducks.
Jeff in Detroit. Hey, Jeff.
Well, good morning, Dan and fellas. Happy Meat Friday. You guys look like you got that grill smoking. I'm going to be sneaking over that back wall one of these days, man. I promise you.
Hey, when we're open for business, Jeff, you have a standing offer to join us for a Meat Friday.
My God. My question to you is this, Dan. I love Joe Burrow. But somebody has to teach him how to slide. Yeah. It was a couple of plays that I'm looking at. I'm like, he's playing in traffic. He's going to get broadsided by a truck or something. The guy just, he kept falling awkwardly. I would call up somebody from the Cincinnati Reds and just have him teach him how to slide. Seriously. Running game was on point for Cleveland. My question is, will it be sustainable for the rest of the year? Because that was a wonderful 1-2 punch between them two. And you almost forget that Hunt was with Kansas City.
Yeah. Thanks, Jeff. Have a good weekend. I think that would be the approach if I'm the Browns, that I would do the same approach that San Francisco did, Seattle's done. You know, the Ravens run the ball. I would run the football. And then I got to take some pressure off of Baker Mayfield. Sophie in Los Angeles joining us. Good morning, Sophie. What do you have for me today?
Dan, I was relaxing in the California sunshine, enjoying my coffee, and heard you talking about how great All or Nothing was, the Tottenham Hotspur show on Amazon. And being an Arsenal fan and loving you dearly, I had to call for an intervention. There's no way on earth you can become a Tottenham fan. I'd rather Paulie convince you to become a Liverpool fan. I don't know if you noticed, but at the beginning of their show, they do say their glory is in the past. I was going to give you a call today to talk a little bit about the excitement, how most of the Bundesliga stars are moving to the Premier League, but I'm using my time to ensure that this doesn't happen.
Okay, well, thank you, Sophie. And I didn't say I was a fan of Tottenham. I said I was a fan of the show. Big difference there. I'm more of a fan of Leeds after watching their documentary. Sunderland was also another one as well. Sunderland Till I Die. That was a really good document. I don't know why I love these soccer documentaries.
Good documentaries, average football.
Yeah, but it's the fans are what make it so great because they're so passionate there. Kyle in California. Hi, Kyle. What do you have for me today? Hey, Kyle.
Hey, DP, hold on. I'm getting ready to
Sorry to interrupt your day there, Kyle.
I'm getting ready to get out onto the waves here, but first things first, I can't believe everybody talking about how bad the Clippers bench is. It was like the best bench ever 6 weeks ago.
Oh,
two,
I know.
Men in the last 2 years, blah, blah, blah. But,
I know.
DP, I got to argue with you on the Clippers having a better chance outside of the bubble. Don't you think Denver's home court would have maybe not let it get to 3-1?
Well, I just think that the Clippers would have had the last two games at home, and they would have won one of those games, so they would have closed them out. But thank you, Kyle. Be careful on the waves. Hang 10. Is that what you say? Hang 10?
Yeah.
Is that for surfing or for snowboarding?
Surfing.
Surfing, hang 10? What is hang 10?
A perfect 10 wave? Maybe it's like the judged wave. I don't know.
I think Alan, who was our IT guy and our chef, he said 10 toes over the board.
Oh, okay.
So hang 10 is 10 toes. I didn't know that. Thank you, Alan. He does it all. Yes, he.
I feel like I'd want all 10 of my toes on the board, not hanging over. I don't know a lot about surfing, but.
Yeah. You know, when you don't like getting into the water, it'd probably be tough for me to take up surfing. Like, I love looking at the water. I don't need to be in the water. Yes, McLovin.
Sharks, right?
No, I know. Yes, that's right. You're a shark expert there. Let's go around the room what we learned on this award-nominated program. Todd, I'm going to start with you.
Kevin Nealon told us the musicians that did SNL stuck around sometimes after the show to do a mini concert for the cast. That's pretty cool.
All right. McLovin, what did you learn?
Duncan Robinson, half-hearted effort at making his bed.
That was a lame effort at making his bed. And he was going to be on TV. Seton O'Connor Jr. III.
Russell Wilson thinks he's the best quarterback in the NFL.
Would you have been surprised if he didn't say that?
He actually answered that better than anybody before because he's like, well, yeah, I think so. But then all these other guys are awesome, too. It's sort of punted, but he did it well.
Paulie, what'd you learn?
Hang 10 involves toes.
What did I learn, Todd?
Kevin Nealon reminds us your slice is not your swing, which you had to remind him. That's what he said in his commercial.
During these unprecedented times, you can rely on LegalZoom for legal help. Visit LegalZoom.com today to take care of the things you need to get done without having to leave your home. That's LegalZoom.com. Reggie Miller on Monday. Eli Manning is going to join us as well. Have a great weekend, everybody. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you soon.